So what's happening at the Environment Centre? What have we got coming up?
Yeah, so this weekend we're following on the series we started last month, and it's called Soil to Supper, and every month we have a different topic around something to do with, you know, food growing. And so this month we're doing, it's a pruning party at the Oran Park Community Orchard.
Okay, yeah.
So you'll get the opportunity to go down there and learn, like it's basically they're going to be doing an intro to pruning, intro to pruning fruit trees.
Yep.
Yep, it's the perfect time of year to be pruning fruit trees.
Yep, middle of winter.
Yeah, so there'll be some why you need to prune your trees and some tips. So that will go like hand in hand with some practical fun. So those fruit trees at the community garden. That's Oran Park, which is on Nahinahi Avenue over in Raglan West.
If you don't go to Raglan West, you might not even know it's there.
That's right. Yep. So it's a lovely little park, actually, community park. It's quite a big one, and it's in smack bang in the middle of two streets parallel, and so a nice playground, and then there's these fruit trees that the community around there have planted.
It's got spare Phoenix palm trees as well.
Yeah, massive Phoenix palm trees.
Yeah, they
trees.
Actually planted them to replace these ones out here if one should fall down.
Okay. I think that'll be a bit hard now, eh? But difficult to replace them.
I don't know. They can shift really big trees now. They have these big claw things that get the whole root bowl.
The ones at Oran Park look bigger than those ones. Like they're meatier.
Yeah, well, probably because the ground is probably more fertile there.
That's
true. Surrounded by asphalt like they are here.
That's right. Yeah, they've got more room to grow.
These ones actually, they don't look that healthy anymore, do they?
They don't, yeah.
But they're a bit iconic for Raglan.
I don't think Wormwee's going to fix them either.
Wormwee's took a lot of worms, yeah. A lot of wees.
We've got a worm farm at the community house underneath there that we started, Tanya actually started a little while ago.
And it's producing. Feeding.
Yeah.
What are you doing with the Wormwee's?
Well, there's some new fruit trees that were planted.
Down the back
already
there.
Already producing some citrus too.
Where were they planted?
Just behind the community
house.
Oh, only this year, last year.
Wow, producing. That's awesome. They're producing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Back to Oran Park though, the fruit trees, what sort of fruit trees are there?
Oh, there's stone fruit, citrus. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I think feijoa.
You don't need to prune the citrus, do you?
I don't know, but you'll find out. Yeah, if you go down there on Sunday from 2 to 4, you will find out.
If they get too big, I know they need pruning, but this is not my area either.
The experts will be able to tell you all of that.
Who are the experts?
I'm not exactly sure. I'm not sure if Liz is part of it. I think Jeff might be helping.
Yeah, Jeff from the horticulture. Group. Yeah, okay.
Quite often Manu goes along to those. He knows quite a lot about pruning as well.
So that is, remind us the time and place.
So it's this Sunday from 2 to 4. And it's not just like, so it's using the opportunity that those fruit trees need a prune.
Yes.
Using that opportunity to show you practically how to prune.
Yeah.
But also there's, so it's just 2 hours from 2 to 4, but it's also sharing some food together as well. Bring a plate to share. I've been hearing little discussions about what some others have got planned to bring along. Sounds really delicious.
Okay.
And then it will be, usually it would be like bring your own plates and stuff, but we're going to give, because in the tool library we've added 100 each of the Falcon enamel plates and tumblers.
Yes.
So they'll be getting their first use at the pruning party.
So I've seen that box you've got over there in the Environment Centre. So generally, what are they for?
So if you're having an event or just a get-together, because from the 1st of July, plastic, single-use plastic disposable plates and cutlery and cups and all of that, straws are all banned.
Right.
And so even the supermarkets can't put their stock out if they've got any leftover stock.
Well, there you go, folks. You've got 2 weeks to buy the stuff.
No.
Well, it's been made.
I suppose it's all going to end up in landfills.
Yeah, if it's been made, it's kind of, they'll give it away, I guess.
I don't know.
They'll probably give it to a charitable organisation to deal with.
Thank God it's been, banned, honestly. That's just so unnecessary. So anyway, what we've done.
You've got an alternative.
We've got an alternative for you, folks. If you join up with the Tool Library, and the Tool Library is, we at the moment, the way we work is it's $15 for a 3-month membership, but you're granted access to use all of the tools as much as you like during those 3 months. So we've got all types of stuff in there. As I was just saying, we've got the enamel plates and tumblers, 100 each of those. We've got a water blaster. We've got electric Massport lawnmowers, cordless, and same with we've got Massport electric hedge trimmer, weed whackers, leaf blowers. We've got power tools like circular saw, sander, electric drills, spades, shovels, all types of stuff.
Right. Yep.
Yep. Special Weber barbecue.
Special spades for Raglan clay. So the skinny ones.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, hang on. No, I don't think. Actually, maybe we need to. We've talked about this before.
Yeah, I thought there was. A lot of us have tried digging clay in Raglan, and it's not a fun experience.
But if you've got tools sitting around in your shed that you don't want anymore, you don't use, and they're just taking up space and gathering dust or rust. Maybe not. We don't want rusty tools.
Good tools.
Yeah, drop them down to us and feel free to donate them to the tool library, because this is a really, really valuable community service.
Yeah. And I see people coming in to borrow stuff all the time.
Yeah.
Sitting here in the studio right next door. So
And we've also got the hours of the tool library are from Tuesday to Friday, you'll have me from 12 to 3. You can come and see me.
Yes.
And then on Saturdays, we've got one of the local teenagers opens up from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Okay.
Yep. So anyway.
This is not some random teenager who's wandered in. This,
no.
This is someone you've hired.
Vida is an employee.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Pruning party this Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah. Just to give you an idea of this theme of soil to supper we're going with. So in July, we're going to be acknowledging Matariki by teaching you how to store your kumara and getting prepared to start your tipu types of – this is – I learned a new word yesterday from Tanya. It's chitting.
Chitting?
Chitting.
C-H, yep. Not S.
Types of chitting. So this is – I know, it's a funny word, isn't it? Yeah.
I'm careful how I say it.
Yeah. And it's apparently it is the, you know, when you put your potato in the in a dark, cool place and you get those little, the growths.
Oh, the yeah, the roots, kind of roots that start to grow. Yes.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's chitting.
Chitting.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, yep. There we go.
So, yeah, that'll be, and then in August we're going to.
Do you want to stop that from happening? Is that what?
No, you want that to happen. But there's different types of chitting you want.
Why do you want it to happen?
Because that's how you plant the potato.
Oh, these are for planting potatoes, not eating potatoes.
I'm no expert. Keep an eye out for that event when it's advertised.
Okay.
And then in August we're going to be moving on to sowing seeds and raising seedlings, getting prepared to put them in the soil. September, composting. October, planting that kumara that you learnt about in July, how to store. And November, there'll be it's watering, successful watering of the garden.
Yes, yeah.
Yep. And we know, now that we pay for our water, how important it is to have a strategy around water in your garden. So, yeah, that'll be lots to look forward to.
Okay.
Yeah. But our big new one of our new project, the Repair Cafe. This is the Whangaroa Repair Cafe. We're really excited about this. It's been it's an awesome, awesome new initiative that we're starting with Extreme Zero Waste. And so that we're going to launch our first event, community event this month.
Okay.
So that'll be on Saturday the 24th of June from 10 a.m. to 12 midday. You can head down to the community house basement.
Oh yes, around the back here. Yeah.
Yeah, and what we have that we've got available for people to bring down for repair so far is sewing. So that's both hand sewing and machine sewing.
Okay.
So that's sewing repairs like mending to your clothing. And then we've got on offer general repairs, so that's like broken toys, household items. We're not at this stage doing electronics or electrical appliances, but we're really hoping to at future events. But at this first one, we're not able to offer it. There's also going to be knife and tool sharpening from like, but that'll be from like 11 to 12. Yep. And then basic bike repairs, yeah.
Okay.
So just be aware that the Repair Cafe, they're all volunteers that have offered their skills to help repair things. And that's, so if you've got these items sitting around at home, please bring them down. This is not, they're not there to fix really complicated issues. We've got lots of, we do have other experts in town that can deal with that. Like, so yeah, that's going to be really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that is, there'll be an event posted. I'll share that out the next, probably today. So that's the first Repair Cafe for Whangaroa from 10 to 12 on Saturday, the 24th of June in the Community House basement.
Okay. Look for that one, folks.
And also if you're a DIYer, repairer, fixer, then please get in touch if you want to talk about, joining that little team of volunteers. And the contact for that is, you want to get in touch with our coordinator, Jessica. Her email is repaircafe@whangaroa.org.nz.
Okay. Mm. All right. I'll drop into the centre. Afternoon's doors are open.
Yeah, you can come and see me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. What else is happening for the Environment Centre coming
up?
Yeah.
So we just had our June Science Night with Phil McCabe.
Oh yeah, how was that? I didn't go to that one.
That was really good.
I'd already interviewed him about it. And I had a meeting as well. But he would have had actually more information.
Yeah, it was actually really good, really informative. This monthly series that I started a year ago at the Harbourview Hotel, Phil was my first speaker at that.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. Okay. So it was exactly 1 year, June 2022. And it was like Science Night. The Science Night events weren't new in the concept. Like, there'd been a couple over the years at Orca, but they were very marine conservation focused, and they weren't regular. So in this new monthly series, it was quite a quiet, small turnout in the courtyard out the back. It was freezing cold, and that was what prompted me to move it into the front bar, where it's nice and toasty warm and a little bit more intimate. It was just a really good turnout. There were at least 30 people there, and it was just so interesting. Like, he got us up to speed on, like, he taught everyone, explained what deep sea mining actually is, like the process involved and what they do and what they extract and the consequences of that deep sea mining. And then he talked to us about like the process at the moment that the government's going through, why they didn't. You've got the radio interview. I've linked it up on our Facebook page as well.
Yes, yeah.
It was a really great night. And one of the things that really got me was he showed us a graph, and it was exactly the last Science Night. There wasn't a lot of international support to ban seabed mining, and he showed this graph.
A year ago.
In that 1 year since the last Science Night, how many other countries had joined the ban seabed mining movement?
Yeah. He's been out around the world at these multi-country events, whatever they might be, and charting that increase and gently pushing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Or maybe he's forcefully pushing it. I don't know how that works.
Yeah. So it was a good turnout for him. Lots of really good discussion.
And what have you got coming up? Do you know what you've got coming up in the next few months?
In July, quite excited about got a young guy called Jeff Reed. He does environmental restoration. So his presentation is really, he's going to be answering any technical questions as well around environmental restoration.
Yeah.
So that'll be a really great night. Watch out. I haven't loaded the event online yet. I'm just confirming the date. But Science Night is always on a Wednesday night from 6 to 7. It can be any Wednesday night of the month, but just remember it's always a Wednesday night from 6 to 7.
Okay.
So keep an eye out for that. Yeah, so that's going to be an interesting night. So him and his friend Kane are actually presenting. They're just a couple of, I think they're only in their 30s, that are coming down from Auckland to present on it. He's got a lot of experience in educating and speaking around the country from the looks of it. And He's going to be, like, together him and his friend Kane have created and implemented some long-term restoration plans for remnant forests in various parts of the North Island.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're going to be sharing their approach and that, yeah.
Sounds interesting. Really good. Yeah.
Yeah, and then in September we're going to be having a presentation on whitebait. That's just because the whitebait season starts in August. We're going to August Science Night's going to be whitebait.
Yep.
Because in October the season starts, but it only runs for a couple of months now. It's much shorter.
Yeah. Because some of those species are starting to get a little endangered.
They really are. So we've got a local Raglan resident who's a specialist on whitebait. Yeah,
so we have everybody in Raglan, don't we?
Sorry?
We have everybody in Raglan.
We really do, and I'd love to see more of these experts come out of the woodwork and present some science nights. It's a really great opportunity to share your work, like make your work accessible to the community.
Yeah, and the growers market, last growers market was held last week, wasn't it?
For the
summer, but it's
winter now. We say the 22-23 season.
Okay.
Yep. So it was our second season.
Yes.
And the last one ended on Friday. So we're just taking a little break over winter, just to renew batteries and get the crops, like get the soil ready, get the crops started and all of that ready for another great spring start. It'll probably be October again. So keep an eye out for that. But we're really like, we're like, from the first growers market, what we found after that, there were all these people that saw how great the growers market was and they were like, I can do this. It's not as daunting as people think. You know, you've got a little plot of land at your place and, you know, like I've been saying to people, you don't need to think really big. It might be like, also we've got the community table as well that you might have just a small amount of something on a regular basis that you want to contribute to that. So that's a great way to sell your produce if you can't fill a full stall.
Yeah.
But also, you may be wanting to start like a larger scale, something a little bit bigger in your section. It could be that you just focus on one or two particular things that you've noticed isn't at the growers market, like, you know, grow it on a bigger scale.
Can you think off the top of your head something that people could bring?
I've always thought, I'm surprised there isn't more large-scale herbs available.
Right, okay.
Yeah, because herbs are something that are quite costly in the supermarket. And whenever I buy herbs, I want a nice big bunch. So I'm surprised someone's not growing, like, massive amounts of coriander so that they can offer it for sale every week,
Didn't someone deliver you some coriander at the Environment Centre? Someone's got lots of coriander in town.
Someone does, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I saw them drop it off.
Yeah, they dropped it off. Maybe they got the day wrong for the community because they wanted to
give it to you and you could sell it.
Yeah, but thank you, whoever that was.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can get in touch if you just want some guidance around how to do that, if you're not really sure what you're doing. We've got an amazing coordinator she's just got so much knowledge around this, Tanya.
Yeah.
So much knowledge and experience that she can share with you and help guide you around that. So Tanya is, her email for the growers market is just growersmarket@whangaroa.org.nz.
Yeah.
And not only that, but there's a bunch of the stallholders that have, you know, they're in their second season now of the growers market and they've got proper market gardens that they've got a wealth of knowledge as well. They've got a really nice little community of stallholders in the growers market that they have regular meetups as well and they do a lot of knowledge sharing and
so there's support there for people that wanting to get started.
There is big support,
which is really key.
Great,
awesome.
And also just head over to our website if you ever want to see what's going on. It's whangaroa.org.nz. We've got you can see at the top of the page, you can click on what we do, see all of our projects. You can go, there's also a button for events. So if you click on that, you'll see all of our events that are happening as well.
Okay. Mm. All right, Jasmine. We've got this morning, isn't it?
It is.
All right. Thank you for coming
in. Yeah, no, thank you. See you later.
All right, folks, we're going to have a little break and then we'll be back with the Regional Council talking about why did the sea level get so high last month and is there going to be more of it?